Stop settling for weak sound. It's time to level up your game and bring the boom. Hit the town with the ultra-durable LG X Boom Portable Speaker and enjoy vibrant sound wherever you go. Elevate your listening experience to new heights because, let's be real, your music deserves it. The future of sound is now with LG X Boom. And for a limited time, save 25% at LG.com with code FALL25. Bring the boom. X Boom.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Happy Tuesday. That man's a liar. I am not Todd Starnes. No, in case you didn't notice, I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd, and I will be with you all week. So I'm very happy about that. So Cassie's out today, so it's just me and Dylan. Dylan and I running, or is it Dylan and me, running the show. So be kind to us. Be patient if you call in. Just give him a chance, because he's also doing all the audio and all that. So if you do call, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, please be patient and give Dylan a chance to pick up the phone, okay? Because you know I love to hear from you. Coming up later next hour, Josh Jones, Republican strategist, will be joining us, because, you know, there's nothing to talk about with him today. There's so much going on to talk about. You can find me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S in that, Mary Walter Radio. That is on X. And also, tonight my podcast, excuse me, sounded like Peter Brady there in the episode when his voice changed. My podcast tonight is at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. It is a live cast on Rumble, Getter, and YouTube. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. And you can join in, ask questions, leave comments. My guest tonight is a woman named Melanie Collette. She is a GOP representative. So she will be joining me tonight. I don't want to call her an operative, but yeah, she works in the GOP. And so she'll be joining me. And the audio will be available probably on Thursday, sometime Thursday, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. Again, just look for Mary Walter Radio. Apple Podcast, Spotify, Spreaker. Yeah, that's it. So look for Mary Walter Radio there. All right, now that we've got all that out of the way, there's so much to talk about. So up until this morning, the big story yesterday was President Trump Dr. Marty McCary and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Were there to make a big announcement. They made a big announcement yesterday. And the President Trump hinted at this on Sunday. He said, we're going to have a big announcement, you know, and he's talked about this before in the past, I think back in April, that they said back in April that they would kick off a massive research initiative to understand the cause of autism. And we're going to do it by September, because Trump knows he's a limited amount of time. So they are on hyper speed with everything. And I think this is a good thing. Now, no one in my family has autism, because nobody back then had autism. You weren't nobody. When I was a kid, there was nobody in my class diagnosed with autism or ADD or ADHD or any of that stuff. You were just kids. We were just kids, especially boys, because boys have a ton of excess energy and love to run around. And they were constantly being told to sit in their seat. There were kids who I'm sure were like maybe ADHD, some boys, because they just were constantly in trouble. They just couldn't, they couldn't sit still. So, but the fact of the matter is, and I think we all know this, is that the rise in the number of kids being diagnosed with autism just keeps going up and up and up. So something has changed. And I think we need, you know, the left is always being, I'm following the science. Yeah, you're the people who also followed the science on that COVID vaccine, too, that really wasn't a vaccine. Found that out later. And young kids didn't have to get it. We knew that from Sweden, but you didn't want to hear it. And 6 feet did nothing. But yeah, you believe in the science. But in my world, science changes all the time. I mean, if science never changed, why do we even need scientists, right? Because science changes. we find out more things, things that we thought were wrong. For instance, back in medieval times, they used to think that the earth was the center of the universe because science told us that. They also told us that birds flew to the moon at night or flew to the sun at night, wherever. But they flew to the sun at night when it was dark. That's why, you know, you didn't see birds at night because they flew to the sun or the moon. You know, so things change. You know, we thought that they still use leeches in medicine, but they thought that like bloodletting was a great thing. It would cure everything. It would get out the evil humors. Well, no, it killed a lot of people, but that was the science. So if we don't expand science, if we don't keep researching, we're never going to go anywhere. We're just stuck here. So I'm open to this. Something has changed. I think we all have to admit something has changed. Just because Donald Trump and RFK and Marty McCary, who was, by the way, censored during COVID by the Biden administration, but we all believe in free speech now, so oh well. Because the message is coming from them, a lot of people don't like the message, and I think that that's very, very foolish. The CDC released a survey in April that found that 1 in 31 8-year-old children were diagnosed with autism in 2022. In 2000, it was 1 in 36. But again, think back to when you were a kid. Now I realize, I'm older than Methuselah here. Or at least I feel that way. You know, I was old enough to see Moses come down from the mountain. But we didn't have it. It wasn't a diagnosis. So something's changed either in the way in which we diagnose autism, and there is some concern about that because Japan has like no autism. They have like no autism. They also diagnose it differently. They have a different criteria for diagnosing it. How much is autism and how much of it is just your kid doesn't want to sit down? You know, so there's, and obviously there's a spectrum of autism. There is highly functioning autistics and there's kids who, you know, can't communicate at all. So let's find out why. So we'll go to cut six. We'll start with cut six. This is the president announcing a potential link, and I know everybody's going to scream about this, a potential link between autism and a commonly used drug in this country.
Tylenol during pregnancy can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. For this reason, they are strongly recommending that women limit Tylenol use during pregnancy unless medically necessary. That's, for instance, in cases of extremely high fever that you feel you can't tough it out, you can't do it. I guess there's that. It's a small number of cases, I think. But if you can't tough it out, if you can't do it, that's what you're going to have to do. You'll take a Tylenol, but it'll be very sparingly. It can be something that's very dangerous to the woman's health. In other words, a fever that's very, very dangerous and ideally a doctor's decision, because I think you shouldn't take it. And you shouldn't take it during the entire pregnancy. They may tell you that toward the end of the pregnancy, you shouldn't take it during the entire. And you shouldn't give the child the Tylenol every time he goes. He's born and he goes and has a shot. You shouldn't give a Tylenol to that child. All pregnant women should talk to their doctors for more information about limiting the use of this medication while pregnant. So ideally, you don't take it at all. But if you have to, if you can't tough it out, or if there's a problem, you're going to end up doing it.
And he's right. Now he's saying, you know, do it with your doctor. I'm sure the left will totally brush over that. And the left at this moment today is now defending Big Pharma. So, you know, it's hilarious to watch. But they will ignore all of this. And I point to a video that's making the rounds on X of women, pregnant women taking Tylenol. And this one woman says, I believe in science and not someone who has no medical background. So the study was done by the CDC. So I'm not quite sure, but so they're going to roll the dice with their kid's life and take Tylenol for no reason whatsoever. I'm just taking Tylenol. Now, if he's right, if you get a very high fever while you're pregnant, that can harm your child. So in that case, you take one or two, but you don't take it every time you have an ache or a pain, you know, your back hurts, because it's going to when you're pregnant. You don't pop Tylenol. So that's what he is saying there. Now, I want to cut down. I want to jump down to cut nine. Actually, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to go talk, hear from Dr. Marty McCary on a group of people in this country where autism is non-existent. And they looked at this group to find out what they do and don't do that's different from us. And unfortunately, it's a lot of things that they do and don't do that is very different from us. So, but what we're trying to learn from them. I'm Mary Walter. More coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today.
A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, and they left MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. But that is your gain. Now, for a limited time, MyPillow is offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Now, compare these to what I paid for my pillows, because I have them in every room, and we even have them, you know, for guests and stuff. Get a standard MyPillow for just $17.98. Just $17.98. You want more? Upgrade to queen for only $22.98, or a king size for $24.98. You can get body pillows, a whole body pillow, for $29.98. And versatile multi-use pillows for just $9.98. Visit MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS to get these great deals. Or call 800-839-8506. Again, use the promo code STARNS. Plus, when your order totals more than $75 or $75 or more, you're going to receive $100 in free digital gifts with no strings attached. Premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. So don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use the promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $17.98 while supplies last. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. So let's go to President Trump and Dr. Marty McCary talking about a group of people in the United States that have no autism. Here we go.
It doesn't exist with the Amish community, and they don't take all of this junk. It doesn't exist. That tells you, doesn't that tell you? That's like, you know, that's like certain countries where it doesn't exist and they don't take it. Would you like to make a comment about that, Mark?
The Amish population are a very mixed group. So there's a subset that take vaccines, a subset that does not. And we know they have very low rates of chronic disease all across the board.
You know, they also eat way better than we do. Like, they eat pure food. And I will tell you that, listen, I'm born and raised in New Jersey. I drank well water in New Jersey out of a hose. You know, the ship sailed a long time ago for me, right? Either that, or I have a super duper immune system. It's going to be one way or the other, right? I'm going to live to be like 120. But something changed. And when my husband and I were in Israel, and I was there for 2 weeks, and the food is, I will say, it's, some of it was fantastic and some of it I was like, oh, okay. But they eat the Mediterranean diet. And there's a lot of Greek influence, a lot of Greek food in that Mediterranean diet. At least what we had was a lot of Greek food. They don't eat a ton of beef, no pork, obviously. And they do know how to cook chicken. Don't ever order steak in Israel. Don't order hamburger. They don't ask you how you want it cooked. and you get it cooked within an inch of its life. I don't know why, but they, even a hamburger was, I was like, I can't eat this. I need like a jackhammer. So, but my husband and I are starting to eat, like trying to eat the Mediterranean diet more. And because of Maha, because of RF Kennedy Jr. talking about all this artificial stuff in our foods with the colors and this and that, we're now looking at labels. Whereas before, you know, okay, I admit I love a good bag of Cheetos. Okay. The fried ones, not the air, not the puffy ones, the other ones. I love them. But, and we don't eat a lot of them. We really don't. But we are trying super hard now to look at the ingredients and say, what is all this stuff? I don't know what this is. Why is this in my food? And not buy, now, you know, we're giving it a shot. We're trying. But the Amish eat this way all the time. They make their own butter. They make their own peanut butter. They make their own, you know, like they do it all themselves. And the food that they eat and the meat that they consume doesn't have hormones in it. And, you know, the food, the vegetables that they consume, et cetera, isn't sprayed for this, that, and the other thing. They do it all naturally. So I have to think that that has a part in this as well. I don't want to say it is, oh, because they don't take Tylenol, but they also don't get all the vaccines, you know, and you heard Dr. McCary talking about that. Some groups do, some groups don't, but even the ones that do don't get the number of vaccines that we get. So I think this whole autism thing is probably very, very complicated. I think it's a very complicated thing. Coming up on the other side, RFK Jr. spoke about possible causes of autism. And it's interesting what he mentions, and it's something that's very treatable. So you're going to want to hear that. And then Dr. Marty McCary also announced a possible treatment for autism. Because listen, if your child has autism, and I've seen parents with kids who are autistic, severely autistic, etc., it's really tough. Actually, you know what? Let's play. We have time here. I was looking at the clock. We have time. Let's go to cut 7. This is RFK Jr. talking about the possible cause of autism.
Our research has revealed that folate deficiency in a child's brain can lead to autism. We have also identified an exciting therapy that may benefit large numbers of children who suffer from autism. Peer-reviewed literature has documented that up to 60% of folate-deficient children with ASD can have improved verbal communications if given leucovorin. I have instructed NIH, FDA, and CMS to help doctors treat children appropriately. Jay will help tell that story, which started with sound science, the kind that restores faith in government. The announcement of this announcement also represents a historic collaboration between NIH, FDA, CDC, and CMS. We expect this to be the first of many announcements over the coming years that deliver actionable information to parents on underlying cause of autism and the potential paths for prevention and reversal.
So just a folate deficiency. Now, Dr. Marty McCary, and we can play him right now. Let's do it all. Let's just play Dr. Marty McCary here, announcing a possible treatment with that folate deficiency that they may be able to use.
Today, the FDA is filing a Federal Register notice to change the label on an exciting treatment called prescription leucovorin so that it can be available to children with autism. You know, autism may also be due to a autoimmune reaction to a folate receptor on the brain, not allowing that important vitamin to get into the brain cells. It's a fairly established, mature pathway. Again, we have a duty to let doctors and the public know we are going to change the label to make it available. Hundreds of thousands of kids, in my opinion, will benefit. One study found that with kids with autism and chronic folate deficiency, 2/3 of kids with autism symptoms had improvement, and some market improvement.
That's huge. That's huge. You know, it's your mom. You took the vitamins. You did everything you were supposed to do. You didn't eat the blue cheese. You didn't eat this. You didn't eat that. You didn't drink. You did it all right. And you have a child with severe autism who, you know, maybe doesn't speak, et cetera. And, you know, when you hear something like this, why not expand it? Why not allow parents to try it, right? Trump signed the Right to Try bill. Why not give them the opportunity to do that? I think it should come with a caveat that, it, you know, if it doesn't work or you think your kid got worse or whatever, you can't sue, because this should be a parental decision to try it or not try it for your child. And if it shows improvement, that's fantastic. I think it's great. But everything's a risk. And so I think we'll see how this gets rolled out. But I think it's great news to give parents something to maybe try to treat with an illness that really didn't exist a generation and a half ago. So that'll be fantastic. Okay, coming up, Trump is at the UN, and also he has some wins at the Supreme Court. That's coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last.
And welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. If you want to jump in, you want to talk about what we were just talking about with the autism and the revelations coming from the administration and what they're going to do about it, where they think this is going to go, you want to comment 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, or you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S, it's Mary Walter Radio. All right, so I said the in the meantime, we'll move on, but I said that the president has gotten some wins at the Supreme Court, because everything the president wants to do has to be cleared through the Supreme Court first, because the left loves lawfare. So yesterday, the Supreme Court backed President Trump's decision to fire one of the commissioners from the Federal Trade Commission, because if President Trump wants to fire anybody, he has to get permission from the Supreme Court, because they refuse to leave. Like, I've been fired from a job. I work in radio. We get fired all the time. Like, no notice whatsoever. Thank you for your service. They could tell you the day before that you got great ratings and they're super happy and they have a new sponsor that wants to sponsor your show, on and on. And then 2 days later, call you and go, yeah, sorry, you're out. Like that's just the way it works. And nine times out of 10, they don't even give you like a desk or like a space to put your stuff. Like, you don't even get that. You just carry it all in. You carry it all out. Yeah, and then to get out, you just, you know, don't even have a fern on your desk to put in a box or a picture. You just walk out, and you know, they have security, of course, escort you from the building. Or if you're not there, they will call you and say, yeah, you're not doing your show tonight because, and then fill in the blank. Or don't bother coming in tomorrow. They do it while you're not there because they're all cowards. But when you work for the government, apparently you get to work forever. You can never be fired. Now, part of this is that there's a 90-year-old court precedent about executive firing power, and it deals with some of these commissioners. And these commissioners are appointed by a president, and they serve 14-year terms so that they stagger, so that, you know, not every 4 years a president can come in and just fire a whole bunch of commissioners, right? So they stagger it. And so President Trump is not doing that. And you're also supposed to give cause. It has to be for cause. So Trump came in and he decided to fire this woman, Rebecca Slaughter, and another commissioner, Alvaro Bodea. And because of this act, the FTC Act, that says commissioners should only be fired, 7-year tenure, should only be fired for cause, like malfeasance or something like that. But he didn't cite a cause when he fired them. And he just said, well, I have broad constitutional authority over the executive branch. So the guy, Alvaro Bedoya, he just resigned. But good old Rebecca's hanging in there. And so she's vowing to fight in court to see the case through its conclusion. So a lower court initially sided with her and reinstated her. So she was in, then she was out, and now she's back in. But she has since been fired and rehired several times as she goes to appeals courts, etc. And now they're on the way to the Supreme Court. Yesterday's decision came after the Trump administration asked the Supreme Court on an emergency basis to temporarily pause her reinstatement from the lower court. All right. So they're going to consider the merits of the case. So they will be taking the case in November. So Rebecca will get a decision as to whether she should actually unpack the box or just leave it there. Interesting. Kamala Harris is on the tour. I don't know if she's on a redemption tour or if she is just on a I'm going to burn the entire DNC down tour, revenge tour. I don't know. Clearly, she's aggrieved. The Bidens and the Harrises did not like each other. The Bidens did not like the Harrises at all. And the Obamas didn't like the Bidens. So there is a lot of palace intrigue, which I love because I'm a Real Housewives of New Jersey fan. So you know that I love this. This is awesome. The behind-the-scenes palace intrigue and the backstabbing and all this stuff is fantastic, which is good because it's my job. So Kamala Harris feels that Biden threw her under the bus because so she was not supposed to be named heir apparent. As apparently the story went is when they realized after that horrific debate prep by Joe Biden, which they knew he was going to do horribly, so they scheduled it early. I think it was June, right? June they scheduled it for, which you never have a presidential debate that early. But this one was scheduled early. And many feel that Joe Biden was set up to fail with this early debate because this way they could get rid of him. If he performed poorly, they could get rid of him. If he did well, they could say, see, he proves to the world that he can run and he gives him a better chance at winning. So if he did poorly, they were going to, you know, take him out. As they did, Obama and Nancy Pelosi and there was somebody else involved in that. Anyway, Ron Klain, I want to say, took him out. They're like, Joe, got to go. And they were going to have a mini primary. And they were expecting, because they don't let their own voters decide, they were going to install Mark Kelly from Arizona. He's out there, the husband of Gabby Giffords. So he was an astronaut, so they were going to install him. They didn't want Kamala Harris because they thought that she was a disaster. And she was. Well, the Bidens then, to revenge on Nancy Pelosi and Obama, they had Joe say that part in his speech when he was resigning. Okay, I got to do this. The writing's on the wall. They're pushing me out. God knows what they held over him. He says, you know, he basically names Kamala Harris as the heir apparent, that she's the one who's going to run. So now Obama and Pelosi, their hands are tied. There goes the whole thing out the window. But she only got 107 days, as we all know. Now, she can't complain because she got a ton of money. But for whatever reason, she's making the revenge tour. So apparently she has no intention of ever running for an office again because of this. So in her book, 107 Days of the Most Poorly Run Campaign in History, apparently she's calling out the Biden administration for being full of bullies. And we all know this. But her office, she had people leaving her office. She was apparently a bully, too. She had a reputation for being a bully. But she's complaining about the Obamas being bullies. Excuse me, the Bidens. So according to her book, now this is written by Michael LaRosa, who's a former White House advisor, who a Democrat, who worked in this environment. He claims the Biden White House was filled with a share of cartoonist characters. They thought they were a BFD, big blanking deal, because they had worked in a previous administration or because our campaign defied the odds and beat expectations with Joe Biden being elected by such a huge margin. But they had no instincts for the shifting media and political landscape and no instincts for politics as it now lived and practiced in the age of Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi was more direct, saying, I have never been that impressed with his political operation, referring to Biden's team. He goes on to say, from the moment Biden won the nomination, no one ever wanted to admit the obvious, that Democrats felt stuck with us, not inspired by us. So apparently, in her book, Kamala Harris is going to put all this out there, that they were a bunch of bullies, which I think is rich, as I said, because people left her office all the time. It was a revolving door with people saying that she was a bully and she was impossible to work for. So the apple did not fall far from the tree. Inside the White House, the Regina Georges, and if you don't know who Regina George is, she's the main character in Mean Girls. What was that, early 2000s? Of Biden's circle ruled like mean girls and policed loyalty. Staff weren't serving a president and first lady. They were serving a cult. You never knew when Regina was in charge or when the Bidens were. It was all blurred. Joe and Jill were warm, decent, and empathetic, but they enabled some of the nastiest and most mean-spirited people I've ever encountered in politics. That contradiction defines the Biden era. Then he goes on to say, when I entered the world of part-time punditry, so he leaves politics, he goes to CNN, MSNBC, whatever, to become a commentator. It's the path that they all do it. There were times I questioned the strategic direction of the Biden reelection effort, and he did it on air. And he said, Nicole Wallace, who's on MSNBC, said to him, it will always feel like friendly fire to them. She's warning him, but all you have is your credibility. So in other words, what you're saying is going to feel like friendly fire to them. So watch yourself. But, you know, all you have is your credibility. So they may come out and come guns a-blazing for you, was the implied remark. He said, I wanted to be taken seriously. I didn't just want to be regurgitating thoughtless talking points. So I balanced my love for my personal loyalty to the Biden family with candid and thoughtful analysis. But the president's bullies didn't see it that way. To them, I had taken off the team jersey by pointing out missed opportunities and mistakes that came for me, which is exactly what Nicole Wallace warned him about. The example they tried to make of me was meant to serve as a warning to any Democrat who raised concerns ahead of 2024. The same bullies who claimed to serve a president who despised bullies were sending me a message, shut up or we'll humiliate you. However, one tragic night, June night in Atlanta, Biden's bullies and their intimidation tactics would crumble over the course of four long hot summer weeks, along with their credibility. Biden's bullies dragged him down. And he said, so they tried to drag Harris down with him, but so far she's refusing to go. This, I'm not telling you, I'm not going to buy the book, but stuff like this makes me want to buy the book. And I don't understand why Harris is doing this. My hunch is, I guess she's not going to run for governor of California. She's not going to run for anything because the Democrat Party is never going to support her. That's just not going to happen at this point in the game, because she is spilling all the tea. But I find it interesting that Joe Biden's administration, but this just goes to show they always accuse you of being what they are, exactly what they are. Biden's team, you know, Biden always came out and said, I will not stand bullying in this administration, and on all this stuff. And we have to, you know, we're going to be kind to each other, and I will fire anyone who bullies or doesn't treat each other kindly and all this. And his team was the bullies. They were the bullies all along. You know, they always are what they accuse others of being. It's really incredible. And it's, to me, I have to tell you, it's not surprising. I think there are just some people, like, you know, like I just think, and I don't know, but Hillary Clinton was a bully, right? The Secret Service never spoke nicely about her. They never did. They didn't say, have a nice thing to say about her. So it's kind of not a surprise. I don't know. If you want to join in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. 5926 is my number, or you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. Coming up, we still have NATO, but also a Real Clear Investigations piece. It's long, but I'm only going to share part of it with you if you want to read it. It's super interesting, by Paul Sperry, with new Russiagate documents and what they expose about the collusion against President Trump. It's far worse than you thought. That's coming up on the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. I am Mary Walter, sitting here for Todd. I'll be with you all week. And Todd wants you to know that if you love this country and you're concerned about the direction we're headed, well, there's something you can do right now. You can join AMAC. It's the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're standing up for the values that built this nation: faith, family, freedom, and common sense. AMAC members get some great benefits. You get deep discounts on travel, insurance, and prescription drugs, exclusive member resources, and a subscription to the AMAC magazine. It's one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. And the best part, you can join for as little as $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. So go to amac.us/starns, amac.us/starns, and join the fight to keep America strong. Let's talk about this piece in Real Clear Politics, also it's done by Real Clear Investigations, and it's by Paul Sperry. I really recommend you take the time to read this. But keep yourselves informed, because you're not going to hear about this in little tiny pieces. You may be a little bits here and there, but it gets lost in the everything else that's going on. And the left doesn't want you to know this. So I find it's always worth it to educate yourselves. It may take time. So you sit here and you read this. It's maybe going to be a 10-minute read. Take your time and read it. And I'm just going to give you bits and pieces of it. I read it and I cherry-picked through it just to give you the highlights. But as I said, I really recommend that you do it yourself. It's called New Russiagate Documents Expose Media/Government Collusion by Paul Sperry on Real Clear Politics. Paul writes, and he's a great resource, by the way. He writes, recently declassified documents indicate that people close to former FBI Director James Comey and Democratic Senator Adam Schiff were connected to leaks of classified information to prominent reporters designed to portray Donald Trump and his allies as being in league with Russia. Now, we knew James Comey. Comey admitted to giving one of the articles to his friend that wound up in the Washington Post. But that was it. You know, that's all I did. Now, back in 2017, almost 10 years ago, FBI documents exposed how selected Washington reporters, including Ellen Nakashima of the Washington Post and Michael Schmidt of the New York Times, scored a series of Pulitzer Prize winning scoops in 2017 by repeating false and inflammatory leaks during President Trump's first term. Wow. So you've got, allegedly, this is how it went. You had James Comey, Adam Schiff, who else knows? Giving these documents or these stories to these reporters, and then the reporters write them, and because it's such breaking news and these are big scoops, they win Pulitzer Prizes. Wow, isn't that great? Even though it was all based on lies, they did zero investigation. Much of the reporting now has been debunked, and it's been shown to be part of a smear campaign. We all know that. But the identities of the leakers have remained hidden. The recent disclosures are heavily redacted, and they do not specifically identify the suspected leaders. But Real Clear Investigations did an analysis of the documents, and they strongly suggest that people close to Comey and Schiff, among others, were feeding the reporters information to advance the Russiagate hoax. The documents revealed the effort of government officials to create and leak misleading classified information to favored reporters, and the failure of those reporters to then scrutinize the information they were given before rushing it into print, and the subsequent failure of federal investigators to then hold anybody accountable for the breaches of security. So they were all in on it. They were all in on it. They all knew that this was BS. And let's get it out there. Let's have it scream loudly from the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. And then we'll solidify it by giving those reporters Pulitzer Prizes, because they're such good journalists, even though they did zero investigation. The documents also detail, in some cases, spouses and friends of government officials and reporters were used to spread damaging misinformation about Trump, which made it difficult for federal investigators to follow the trail of illegal disclosures. Some of them were married to each other. So they just, here, honey, look what I brought home from work today. It's in the fridge. It's just a pile of papers. The new disclosures include the previously sealed testimony of an FBI informant who worked on the Democrat side of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intel for more than a decade, who told agents that, quote, all hell broke loose after Trump won in 2016, because they weren't expecting it. In February 2017, he asserted that Schiff hatched a plan to weaponize U.S. intel to smear Trump in the media as a Kremlin conspirator with the goal of triggering his impeachment. Schiff was the ranking Democrat member of the committee at the time, so he had close access to the intel. To that end, Schiff formed a, quote, Russia team within the committee to view and disseminate classified material on Trump that it requested from the CIA and the FBI. Remember, all those leaks were like, who is leaking all this stuff? This is classified material. The main team members allegedly included Schiff's staffers, Rianne Wirkala and Timothy Bergreen, Schiff's staff director, Michael Behar, and his communications director, Patrick Boyland, allegedly orchestrated the smear campaign. Now, a spokesperson for Senator Schiff categorically denied the allegation against Boland, who was now Schiff's chief of staff, and claimed that the FBI informant was just a disgruntled former staffer who was fired by the House Intel Committee in early 2017. More palace intrigue. We knew it was all going to come out, but remember, this happened almost 10 years ago. More on this coming up, along with Donald Trump at the UN today on the Todd Stern Show.
At North Carolina's Crystal Coast, you might have the same vacation plans. Hit the beach, find some good seafood, explore a little. But when there's actually room to roam and space to spread out, when there are endless ways to make each vacation yours, countless activities, a photo opportunity at every turn, when every breathtaking view belongs to you, it might be the same vacation plans, sure, but the feeling is much different. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking to book your next unforgettable getaway.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. If you are just joining us, well, why? Why are you just joining us now? So much to talk about. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd, and I'll be with you all week. Todd is back with you on Monday. Todd is at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference, so he's still working. That man is always working, so it's not like he's just sitting around. He is out there on the left coast, so he will be back with us on Monday. Coming up later this hour, Josh Jones, Republican strategist, will be joining us. Talk to him about some of this news. There's just so much news to discuss. We'll go into that with him. I'll talk about Donald Trump also at the UN with him probably as well, but we may start on that, just us, you know, and then we'll talk to him about that. So when I was talking to you about recounting these new documents that have been exposed, and no one's reporting on it, which is why I found it at Real Clear Politics. They're a great resource if you want to educate yourself, if you want to learn some more. They're going to be reporting on a lot of things that you're probably not going to see elsewhere, and also they're very in-depth, and Paul Sperry is a great reporter. He's got great sources. So when he posts something like this, I know he's done the work, and I know Real Clear Investigations has done the work as well. So one of the people who it was supposedly one of the intermediaries is now... He was the communications director for Adam Schiff. He is now Schiff's chief of staff. All right. But they're saying, no, this guy, this whistleblower is just a disgruntled former employee. That's what they always say, right? But the records show that the informant left the committee in September 2017. They said this person was fired by the House Intel Committee in 2017. But records show the informant left the committee in 2017 and had made his allegations to the FBI in interviews with agents while he was still on staff. So he made the allegations while he was still there. The FBI source considered Schiff a friend and told agents that he was called into the 2017 meeting during which Schiff specifically authorized leaking classified dirt to reporters. The interview report from the FBI says, in this meeting, Schiff stated that the group would leak classified information which was derogatory to the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. The whistleblower memorialized the Monday, February 13th, 2017 staff meeting in an email he sent to himself the next day. Quote, Schiff stated the information would be used to indict President Trump. So it was all BS, all made up, and then they were going to turn around and use it. They were going to create the evidence and then use that evidence to indict the president and impeach him and get him out of office. Now, Schiff has denied the allegations. The FBI subpoenaed some of Schiff's communication records, but they never charged him with a crime. See, they didn't charge him with a crime. Why? It was Biden's FBI. He doesn't want anybody to be in charge of the crime, because then they could sing about him and about Barack Obama, etc. Schiff is currently under investigation for possible mortgage fraud. The anonymous whistleblower, whose name is blacked out in the reports, according to multiple sources, is a man named Robert Meinhardt. He worked as a policy advisor to Schiff on the minority side of the Intel Committee, and he first joined the committee in 2005. He left the panel in late 2017 after he and Schiff loyalists, he said Schiff loyalists marginalized him, they were bullies, for complaining to both the committee's security chief and the CIA's inspector general about the rampant leaking of classified information. So in other words, he was doing his job. He told FBI field agents he believed the classified leaks were unethical and treasonous, But he was reluctant to complain about them to the FBI Congressional Liaison Office because he viewed the officials there as too embedded and he couldn't trust them. Former committee staffers who worked with Meinhardt said he was a well-respected intel professor who was concerned with safeguarding classified information, and they viewed him as credible, reliable, and nonpartisan. So, like I said, great read. There's more to it. There's more information in there. But like I said, I find it's hard. It's really hard to keep yourself informed and up to date with everything because everything comes out as like drinking from a fire hose. However, I think it's really super important. So if I can share good sources with you and especially good stories, I definitely will do that. So a little bit on Charlie Kirk, because we'll also talk about Kimmel as well. Two things that just kind of surround this. One of them is a feel-good story. Like, it's a good story, but at the same time, you're like, are you kidding me? So there's a guy named Scott Smith. He's a Wyoming state representative. And he and his wife decided they want to go to the stadium, to go to the memorial in Glendale, Arizona. So, you know, Wyoming's a bit of a ways from Arizona. So he and his wife had driven to Denver from their hometown in Arizona, in Wyoming. Lingle, Wyoming. They drove to Denver. Then they flew from Denver to Arizona early on Saturday, and they set out for the funeral before sunrise on Sunday. They rented a car, and off they go. But by 5 a.m. Sunday, all roads leading to the stadium were gridlocked. And the nearest parking lot, the parking lots closest to the stadium were off limits because of security. They had no vehicles. I think it was like within 300 yards of either one of the, well, the one stadium, the other arena, maybe not so much, but the stadium, because of everybody who was there. The handicap parking lot was completely full. So he and his wife decided to park where they got stuck in traffic, about 2.5 miles away. Now, for Smith, this posed a problem because he uses crutches full time due to a physical disability in one leg. But he did it. He went with the flow with people walking with him and everything on narrow sidewalks, gravel. He said there was a ton of trash on the sidewalks because you couldn't take anything in. So people were leaving chairs. People were leaving this, that, the other thing. Which I never understood when they know that something like this is going to happen, why they don't put out just huge either dumpsters or garbage cans. Maybe they had no garbage cans because then people could hide stuff in them. I don't know. Someone was going to place an incendiary device or something there, a bomb of some kind. They would do it outside and all on the road in the garbage, right? So I don't know. He walked it on his crutches. He and his wife made it to the line to get in within 40 minutes. He said, I don't know what the top speed is on crutches. I was just slow and steady, wins the race. And he said it hurt. I mean, he was in a lot of pain from doing this. But he said, God led him on through the pain. I just felt inspired by the Lord that, hey, it's a moment in history and you should be a part of it in honor of a man that deserved being honored. The number one takeaway from that funeral is the most important thing in life is your walk with Christ. So see the irony there, the walk with Christ, get it? Then he had to walk back. He'll go back. And they made their journey back to Wyoming, and they got home that day. They back to the airport, back to Colorado. They got home in Wyoming at 2:30 in the morning on Monday, and they were both at work by 8 a.m. on Monday. So good for them. I just love that. Every now and then, I love a good feel-good story, right? Don't we like that every now and then? Also, dealing with Charlie Kirk, listen to this. So people are incredible. They really are. And I can't figure out if it's like genius, evil genius, or just raw, like just horrific. I'm on the fence here because I don't think Republicans fight enough and don't play dirty enough. But the Democrats do. Liberals do. Leftists do. The liberals, the leftists do. Not the like the true liberals. So a woman, comes out of Texas in the Spring Branch Independent School District in Houston. So there was a district-based Facebook group. And a woman in that group, her name is Natalie Herpin. She shared content from another group chat of teenagers that it was a chat that was between students and organizers who were trying to start a local high school Turning Point chapter in the Spring Branch Independent School District. So she gets in there somehow. Screenshots from her group show that the woman show her encouraging other members of this district-based Facebook group to contact the teachers sponsoring the club and intimidate them into backing down. Moms for Liberty, the Harris County Moms for Liberty, where this all took place, got all this info. Here she says, a user named Natalie Herpin posted to the group, please, please send a letter with your own words to these teachers. Encourage them to focus on their careers, their students, and actual education. Remind them that they have students who are girls, who are Black, who are Muslim, who are LGBTQ+, who have been raped, who have been abused, who have lost loved ones to gun violence, and those students would be irreparably harmed by teachers' support of an organization that has historically supported hate and division and risks bringing violence to the school. She is the vice president of the Spring Branch Texas Democrat Club. In her message, she also repeated the false claims that Charlie Kirk's assassination was motivated by right-wing rhetoric, which, of course, is not true. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, announced that his office is reviewing the messages. He said, these are sick individuals. This is in a post to X. He said, my office will review these messages for any violations of the law. The radical leftist culture of suppression must be totally defeated. We are not backing down, and we will not be silenced. I don't know if she broke any laws. I don't know if she did. I mean, you have the right to post as somebody else in a Facebook group or a chat or something along those lines. I mean, is lying illegal? Because if it was, lying's illegal. I know a lot of people who are guilty, including myself. I lie every now and then, right? We all do. Although as I've gotten older, I really lie less. If I lie now, it's just because like somebody we really don't want to deal with wants to get together for dinner. I'm like, ugh, you know, like that kind of thing. But past that, not really. I think, what was that movie with Jim Carrey where he couldn't tell a lie, had to be brutally honest for 24 hours? It was just on TV the other day. I forget what it was called. But he had to be honest about everything for 24 hours. And it like cost him his job. It cost him tons of stuff. So being totally brutally honest, not necessarily. But my bottom line is, they're urging, you know, I can't figure out what she did is brilliant. Because it was a brilliant thing to do, right? It was brilliant. You know, be the agitator, tell them, no, we can't have this here. You should email, you know, teachers, this is happening over here. And then she comes over to her group and goes, we have to stop this. This is what you're going to do. It's kind of brilliant. That's what spies do, right? She didn't break any laws, I don't think. But see, Republicans don't operate that way. And I know that, you know, it's like, oh, we got to be better than they are. And that sounds great. But I wonder, at what point does it become to your detriment? At what point does not playing the game that way become detrimental to you? And I understand the whole Christ Center thing, and I get it, and we all saw it at the rally, at the memorial, excuse me. But I don't know. You know, some of Jesus's apostles reported back to him about what the Sanhedrin were doing, right? So I don't see it. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because I couldn't figure out if it was like brilliant or something that she should be arrested for. If you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, or reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. Coming up in 10 minutes, less a little bit more than 10 minutes, Josh Jones, GOP strategist, will be joining us. We'll talk to him about some of the news and Donald Trump and what's been going on. It's coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
Stop settling for weak sound. It's time to level up your game and bring the boom. Hit the town with the ultra-durable LG X Boom portable speaker and enjoy vibrant sound wherever you go. Elevate your listening experience to new heights because, let's be real, your music deserves it. The future of sound is now with LG X Boom. And for a limited time, save 25% at LG.com with code FALL25. Bring the boom. X Boom.
And we're back on the Todd Stern Show. I'm Mary Walter. I'm with you all week. Todd is back with you on Monday. He's kicking up his heels on the left coast at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference, and he'll be back to tell you all about it on Monday. Right now, I want to tell you about something. We've been talking about this on the show a lot. It seems to be a theme, at least for the last couple of weeks, that the First Amendment is under attack. And our definition of the First Amendment differs depending on where you stand, right? But did you know that you can help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And that's why Todd is proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, and you're not funding the left. So when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, isn't that great, makes switching easy. Keep your number, you can keep your phone, you can upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So join Todd. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. All right. So since we were just talking about the kids and what was going on with Turning Point, and these people infiltrating and trying to keep them from forming groups at their schools and stuff. Listen to this. In L.A., you know, L.A. is nutty. In L.A., the Los Angeles Unified School District is banning a series of fifth grade musical plays about American history at a local charter school because the district says that they are culturally insensitive. Now, for nearly 30 years, the fifth graders at this school, Marquez Charter Elementary in Pacific Palisades, have performed musicals about crucial periods in the formation in our history of the United States. And these include Miracle in Philadelphia about the Constitutional Convention, Hello Louisiana about Lewis and Clark, Water and Power about the Industrial Revolution, which is a fourth grade play, Gold Dust or Bust, which focuses on the history of California and the westward expansion. Now, the musicals were co-written by a guy named Jeff Lantos, and the music was composed by a late jazz pianist, Bill Augustine. And they've been so successful in teaching these kids history that they consistently score off the charts in history assessments in the state. Students who attend Marquez Elementary School scored more than twice as many items correctly on history tests as students from other schools. So it's working. It's kind of like the Schoolhouse Rock of our generation when we were kids. Maybe you'd sit there and wait for Schoolhouse Rock to come on during the commercials, and you never wanted to leave the room during commercials because you thought you were going to miss one of the Schoolhouse Rock videos. That's what it is. Put it to music. I can sing the preamble to the Constitution because of Schoolhouse Rock. But now the LAUSD wants to ban the plays starting in the next school year. District officials have told Marquez teachers and the writer that the plays are not culturally relevant and they're not appropriate material for fifth grade students. So the community pushed back. So after that, the school was told that they could keep only one play, Miracle in Philadelphia, but they were told they had to change the text to be more politically correct. So a deaf character is now not called deaf. He's now characterized as hearing impaired. A female character cannot be referred to by a male suitor as a cutie pie. Really? Officials objected to a joke about the three-fifths compromise in which an exhausted character says that if he doesn't eat dinner soon, there won't be three-fifths of him left. They also flagged the phrase, they don't like the phrase cotton pick minute, and said it's racially offensive. I never viewed that. Did anybody else ever view that? Like, I'm 10 years old and I'm like, wait, that's racist? I had never, first of all, I don't know anybody who says it. But that's racist? I had no idea. You can say a New York minute, though. You can still say a New York minute. Objected to a George Washington character saying that he missed his slaves while he was at the Constitutional Convention in Philly, which abolished slavery. Officials also said that framing the struggle over slavery as North versus South risked overlooking the slaves' humanity. The district also apparently objected to the fact that there were very few women portrayed as having attended the Constitutional Convention, because very few women attended the Constitutional Convention, so it's historically accurate. But some of the men are portrayed by girls, you know, fifth grade students, just in costume, portraying the men. The writer, Lantos, told Breitbart News that it was possible that a parent had complained maybe about a scene in which an African-American slave becomes free after crossing the Mississippi and performs a dance number with Native American women. The scene had been presented for 28 years running without incident or complaint. He said he was summoned to a star chamber of four or five DEI experts at headquarters, and he offered to rewrite the plays to satisfy the complaints, but he hasn't heard from them in the 15 months since. So, yeah, L.A., California is just lost. It's like England. It's lost. London's lost. California's lost. It's all lost. But I do have some good news about schools we can share with you as well. But first, coming up next, we're going to speak with Republican strategist Josh Jones. We'll talk about Trump at the U.N. And there's some other things about NATO. Well, that's the U.N. But some other things having to do with NATO coming up on the Todd Stern Show. And if you're just joining us, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. Mary Walter sitting in for Todd. Don't forget, you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S, it's just Mary Walter Radio. Or you can join us at 901-260-5926. Joining us now, Republican strategist Josh Jones is here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Josh, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be on.
Yeah, well, you don't know that yet. You don't know how this is going to go.
Stay tuned.
So, Josh, let's talk about a little news. Donald Trump at the U.N. today, shaking it up at the U.N. I don't know if you saw, but as he's getting on the escalator, Melania is going first. The first lady is getting on the escalator. And you see Trump, and you see two people behind him. And they get like Melania goes up like two steps. Like it just moves a little bit and it stops dead. Just stops.
Yeah.
So they wind up walking up, right? Then he goes, gets in and he goes to use the teleprompter. Teleprompter stops working. What is happening? Are there like gremlins in the system, or is this nefarious? Is it Russia?
That's a great question. Yeah, I saw both of that break in the last hour or two while he was on his trip up to New York. I mean, you know, I'm not going to attribute maybe there's a motive, maybe there's an hour, just no odd circumstance or coincidences. But I'm sure, you know, the president probably wasn't happy about it, especially for a group that's trying to win him over, you know, who's not always been the biggest fans of. So I hope the rest of it goes well for them because, you know, it's been their best interest as well.
You know, I only got to hear just some of it because we were prepping for this show, because otherwise, or we could just come on totally unprepared. We decided not to do that. So prepping for the show. So I heard a little bit of it, and I did go online and try to watch some of the clips from it. And you know, Donald Trump is very harsh with them, and I don't think that they're used to that. You know, Joe Biden increased funding to the UN, whereas Donald Trump, you know, pulled back funding from the UN. We are huge funders of the UN, and we spend a lot of money with the UN. And Donald Trump is just asking for everybody else to pay their fair share. Roughly one third of the UN's funding comes from American taxpayers, and that's
right,
a lot. Yeah. So do you see Donald Trump pulling back more?
I mean, it's definitely possible because, I mean, you're absolutely correct. For the amount of negative coverage that the United States gets from the UN, we're by far the largest contributor and funder of the vast majority of their programs. And a lot of the times, and we saw this in the first Trump administration, but also the second go-around too, a lot of times the America First agenda and the UN are diametrically opposed. And the president obviously recognizes that along with his team. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll get the reports out of his meetings because, you know, there's plenty of behind the scenes that we're not necessarily seeing yet. But, I mean, it's definitely possible given how the UN's behaved in the past and, you know, how Trump wants to move forward here.
Yeah, because they also fund programs that work against us. You know, UNRWA, which works for Palestine, the United Nations right. Relief and Works Agency for Palestine. We know that they're working against us in areas like the Middle East. They're working against Israel. So we're funding Israel, and then we're funding UNRWA, which is working against Israel to fund the Palestinians. We know that there were UN groups that were caught funding people crossing our border illegally.
Yep. Nope, you're absolutely correct. I mean, not to you know, bring it down to a Twitter level, but I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, or you know, maybe some of the viewers have. There's this picture of rockets flying, and you know, wasn't some of the rockets are labeled my tax dollars, and then the other rockets are also labeled somehow also my tax dollars.
Yeah.
So, like you said, like America's interests and our, you know, putting our national security first, a lot of times do not go hand in hand with what the UN's looking for.
Yeah, and I also believe that they're putting, Iran on the Human Rights Council. Like, things like that just don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you look at the Human Rights Council in the UN, it's an absolute disgrace. Some of those member countries that are on that committee are some of the worst, absolute worst violators of human rights across anywhere in the world. And this is who we're meant to be listening to when it comes to, you know, respecting women's rights or respecting the rights of different minorities. Or, you know, it's absolutely just backwards in the UN. And I hope President Trump, you know, obviously he's going to, but, you know, shoots them straight in terms of getting their priorities aligned with the priorities of the West and, you know, course correcting there.
Well, I do love, so we have to let them come because we have the UN. And if you've ever had to be in New York City, so when I was working in New York, I was in the city a lot. Luckily, the UN is in Turtle Bay. It's on the
right.
East Side, right?
Yep.
So, but it is a nightmare if you live or work in New York. It's just a nightmare with all of the cars and the this and the that. And I don't know if you saw again on Twitter. So it was on X. Emmanuel Macron is there with like all of his entourage, and he's trying to get across the street, but everything's shut down because of Trump. So there's a video of him on the phone with Donald Trump. And he's like, yeah, you know, I can't get through, blah, 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 blah. And basically Trump told him, you got to walk. So now he's walking down the street with this entourage around him. People are trying to take selfies. I'm like, how safe is this? This isn't safe at all. How is this happening? Right?
Yeah, I saw the exact same coverage because I was just in New York a couple months ago, not for the UN, obviously, but in New York a couple months ago. I was like, what? My first thought when I saw that clip was like, why is the president of France walking down the streets of New York?
I don't want to walk down the streets of New York, especially at night. It's a hellhole.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it was an interesting choice to say the least.
I just thought it was so funny. He's there on the phone. He's like, I will, because the cop said to him, call Trump. He's like, okay, I will.
Right, and I'm like, you know, maybe they have a really close relationship. I don't know, but I was like, what is he going to do? What does he expect the president to do? They're just like, yeah, open up the barricades?
Right. And it was also ironic, the barricades, Les Mis, the French president, I thought that was also a little amusing.
Right, yeah, I'm sure that police officer, too, was having quite the time talking to the president of France and also having the president on the phone at the same time.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But I just love the cop, call the president! He didn't care at all that he was talking to the president of France. He's like, no. It was such the epitome of a New York City cop. It was great. Yesterday, we got the announcement about autism, and they had this presser with Dr. Marty McCary and Dr. Oz and RFK Jr., the head of Health and Human Services, and Donald Trump, of course, and talking about possible ties. And I think they were very careful to say possible, and you have to do it with your doctor. And so now there's videos all over X of liberals just chugging Tylenol, which will kill your kidneys, but you do you. And, you know, pregnant women, I'm pregnant, I'm going to, and they're just taking Tylenol for no reason whatsoever because they're insane. How important do you think this announcement was?
I mean, look, this is something that the president has been talking about for a long time. Particularly, I think the key mark of them when this kind of became a priority for the president and this administration was back during the campaign cycle in 2024, whenever RFK endorsed then candidate Trump, and making health a priority or make America healthy again, a real initiative within his administration. So, I mean, I'll be even the first to say, you know, I'm not a medical expert, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. But, I mean, it is important for this to be a keystone event of the Trump administration. Because, I mean, if you look at, for example, the obesity rates in America versus the rest of the world, I mean, we are a deeply unhealthy country, and it goes, you know, into chronic diseases from there. But, I mean, this is something that is a real crisis that needs to be addressed. Like I said, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know the answer, but I'm glad someone's looking into it.
Right. No, I think it's good to look. And I just love the posts that are saying, I believe the scientists, not someone without a medical degree. And I'm like, you know, these studies are done by the CDC, right? Like, this is an organization that you loved when they were forcing the vaccine on everybody and his uncle, whether they didn't want it or not. Like, then they were totally cool with it. So it just goes to show the hypocrisy and how even at this point, it's like science is politicized at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What are we to make of a Jimmy Kimmel being back? Jimmy's back. Are you surprised?
I mean, it's hard to say, frankly, because if you look at Hollywood, I mean, we already know the amount of bias that comes out of Hollywood, whether it's in the late night shows, the movies, television, whatever it may be. So I can't say I'm all that surprised coming out of it. I'm surprised it honestly lasted as long as it did in terms of them pulling the show. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see So I know some of the ownership groups are still in disagreement, but ABC's on board and Disney's. So I know there's a lot of back and forth still in terms of how this plane's going to land, but I can't say I'm all that surprised, sadly.
What's interesting, though, to me is, of course, obviously, the insane hypocrisy from the left, because they were all for Trump getting caught, you know, kicked off of Twitter because he's lying. And I'm like, okay, well, Jimmy Kimmel just lied. Well, that's different. Okay. But, you know, it heads so well. But Nexstar just announced that their 28 local stations will not broadcast Jimmy Kimmel live either. So when you combine that with Sinclair's, it's 66 out of 240 stations that are not going to run it. Now, that's not a lot. If you look at 240 stations, he's losing 66. But he's already number three in the ratings behind Colbert and Jimmy Fallon. So he's already number three. His ratings have been going down. He's not funny. Like what he said, that thing about MAGA was supposedly a joke. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't even funny. And he's bleeding money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, politics aside, whether people disagree with what he said or agree with what he said, all that aside, at the end of the day, they should really be reevaluating their business decisions here. Because I would not be renewing a show after I just took it off air if it was losing money. I mean, that's business 101, but, you know, I'll defer to the experts, I suppose.
Yeah, and it apparently has something to do, Brendan Carr was saying, that there is a clause in the license that says that you have to serve the best interests. It's called the best interests clause. You have to serve the best interests of your viewers. So what's in the best interests of the viewers in Idaho isn't necessarily what's in the best interests of viewers in LA, right? They're going to think that different things are in their best interest. So these distributors have the right to say, this is not in the best interest of my viewers. You can't force me, ABC, Disney, et cetera, you can't force me to view this, and their license will be protected, right? Well, it's really the license of ABC, et cetera. So they're not allowed to do that. And, you know, I was reading a piece in Breitbart that's like, well, that's because Nexstar and Sinclair just represent the normals. Right? The normals don't find Jimmy Kimmel funny. They're not watching it to begin with. So I know Sinclair is going to be airing ABC News, but they have not said yet what Nexstar. I haven't heard that. Have you heard what they're going to air instead?
Yeah, no, I hadn't seen that. Because, like you said, I saw where some of the different groups are saying they're doing ABC News. And then, yeah, I'm not sure what else they're going to air. And like another point I'll add on to this whole conversation, particularly to those who want to keep the share up is, look, you know, at the end of the day, yes, obviously everybody has the right to free speech in this country, but that does not mean that you don't have that you're excluded from the consequences of what you say or what you do. You have the right to say it, but you also can't get upset based on how people say or react whenever you make whatever absurd statement you're going to make. So I think that's also some hypocrisy that we're seeing. Of people, on the left trying to claim, this is free speech. Well, no one's arguing he can't say that. It's just, this is the consequence of saying that.
Yeah. All right. Can you hang on? Because I have another question, another story to discuss with you. Can you hold?
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic. We've got more with Josh Jones coming up on The Todd Stern Show. Some southern music there. I love that. I love country music. Yeah. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to the Todd Stern Show. Todd is at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference. He'll be back with you next week. I'm here with you until Friday. And with me is Republican strategist Josh Jones. Josh, thank you for sticking with us. So I don't know if you're familiar with the story, if you heard the story, and I know the audience has not because we haven't gone over it yet. But on Friday, just before NBC's nightly news, NBC aired a story about the growing support for political violence among the younger, highly online, and ideologically left-aligned. And they talked about support for Luigi Mangione, etc. But they actually ran a story about the far left's acceptance of political violence. Is this a sign of the coming apocalypse, or is the tide turning?
Right. I mean, referencing that story that broke and that study that came out, it is concerning. I mean, and it particularly, and I'm not going to pretend there's zero violence on the rise, but if you look at the numbers, I mean, frankly, when you're looking at the left and the far left, I mean, they are much more prone to accept political violence as a means of achieving their means compared to the right, at least, you know, in the modern sense. So this should be concerning. I think a lot of it, too, particularly when it comes to young leftists, and not that this is an excuse by any means, but maybe kind of an identifying factor of what's contributing here, is if you look, you know, my generation and, you know, people around my age, we've grown up in the digital era and they and have been very desensitized across the board because kind of growing up was the development of social media into what it is now. So I think there's a level of desensitization that's coming along with that, and I think you're seeing that leak over into our political spectrum as well.
Yeah. And part of that problem is a study came out. I talked about it probably a month ago, three weeks, a month ago. Study came out that find that if you give a child a screen, a computer screen, your iPad, your phone, whatever it is, before the age of six, you greatly hinder their brain development. And yeah. if you give a child it before the age of 13, you will also hinder their development, not as severely as you would between six and under. But they're saying kids should not have a screen, access to the internet, any of that before the age of 13, because, you know, it's how your eyes track, it's and how your brain, you know, and also your attention span. And they found that right. In young boys, they grow up in their 20s, and we're seeing it. And they're angry and they're depressed and they have issues controlling themselves. And for the young women are depressed, greatly depressed and anxious. And all these things that we're seeing on the rise. I didn't know anybody. We were talking about before. I didn't know anybody in my generation who had ADD. There were a couple of kids who needed to be slapped around, but there was no ADD.
Yeah,
right?
No,
there was none of that. The teacher just grabbed you, threw you in the chair and said, sit down, shut up and do your work. And that was the end of it. Nobody had anxiety. There was no anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't exist. My parents were like, you're nervous. You got a test. Study. It'll be fine. That was it.
Yeah, no, the digital era really has changed things. And, like, this goes back to, obviously, just, like, good parenting, you know, and making sure your kids, you know, aren't being exposed to, you know, whatever it is. Whether it's innocent or not, like you said, it affects the brain development. And it, you know, it goes beyond just, you know, having an opinion.
Yeah. Well, Josh, thank you so much. Is there, where can people find you? Are you on X? What are you on X?
I'm on X, formerly Twitter, but yeah, Josh Jones, DC. Very simple. We'll try to keep it short and sweet.
So, what are the two last initials? Josh Jones?
DC.
DC. Oh, you poor thing. You're living there. Oh, God bless you.
I know. Somebody's got to do it.
I left there during COVID and never looked back. Josh, thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week. Bob in Georgia on listening on WDUN. Hang on, because if I take you now, I can only give you 1 minute. And that's not fair to you because you've been so sweet and hung on, but he's hanging on. He wants to talk about Trump's speech at the UN. So I promise you, Bob, on the other side, hang on, and I will make you the first thing out at the top of the hour. And then we will talk more about Donald Trump at the UN. We have some great audio for you that Dylan has worked very tirelessly and quickly to pull. So we will do all of that coming up. Okay. So very quickly, a little bit more on this story that I was talking to Josh about, that he knew about, was this piece that ran acknowledging on NBC News that the far left has a growing violence problem with young people. And he's right. It probably is all the screen time, right? But they're actually acknowledging it. So I think this is a big deal. I don't know if it's going to grow or if that's just going to be the one story, but we'll find out. Coming up, Bob... and more of your calls on the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I am not Todd Starnes. I'm sorry. I know. But Todd will be back. Do not fret. I'm Mary Walter. I'm with you all week. Todd is at the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference, so he is returning. So no need to call poor Dylan and go, oh my gosh, where's Todd? Is he sick? Is he okay? Is he coming back? He's fine. He's out taking some time off. Well deserved. Before we go anywhere, we were just talking about Donald Trump at the UN with Josh Jones, who is a Republican strategist. And Bob here in Georgia, listening on WDUN, was kind enough to hang on because he wants to talk about that. If you want to join us, 901-260-5926. Bob, thank you. You are so sweet to hold on. I really appreciate that. Hi.
Hey there, Mary. I tell you, you know, Todd's a great guy and all, but I think I like you a lot better. So,
just being sweet.
But yes, I listened to Trump's speech, and a little controversial there. He tongue in cheek thanked the UN for all the help they gave him in stopping those seven wars, because there was none, zero. They didn't do a thing to help him.
You know what? Hang on, Bob. I'm going to make you, Bob, hold on. I'm going to make you co-host for a hot second, okay? So hold on. Dylan, let's go to cut 13 right now, because exactly what Bob is talking about, for people who didn't hear it, here you go.
I ended seven wars, dealt with the leaders of each and every one of these countries, and never even received a phone call from the United Nations offering to help in finalizing the deal. All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the First Lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. And then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter.
He's good at making jokes, but he gets the point across. Bob, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he sure does. He was great today, by the way. I thought he did an excellent job. Thought just about an hour. And another thing he did point out, I mean, he made it clear, the climate change hoax. He made that crystal clear. And I'm sure a lot of people in the room were very nervous about that. But, yeah, I mean, if you got a cut on that, that's the place to go, because Trump was very, very adamant that that was definitely a hoax of the money-making thing, and it's destroying a lot of countries because they're spending so much money to meet the regulations that were put in place. Basically, you know, the Chevron doctrine got into that because people were making law.
Well, it's interesting because Donald Trump, remember, pulled us out of the Paris Climate Agreement and everybody screamed about it. But he saw the hypocrisy in it, that it doesn't, you know, China and India don't have to comply until like 2035, and they're the biggest polluters. So what are we doing?
Exactly. Exactly. All production went over to China and India, and they're the biggest polluters. Meanwhile, back home, we're paying higher rates because we're having to conform to these regulations put in place by bureaucrats, not our elected leaders. And that's where I'm pointing to the Chevron doctrine with. Now, if I may, I'm sure you watch Charlie Kirk.
Of course.
What a revival. What a revival. But I want to point something out. The people that don't know Charlie have not seen him in action. They've seen snippets that somebody cut up for their purposes, and that's what got him killed, because Charlie was so forgiving to whoever he was debating. He gave them leeway tremendously. Now, along the way, he would correct their facts. But what was going on, he started off with a card table from his mother, and about one person every 15 minutes on a college campus would debate him. And then along come another one 15 minutes later. And he worked it up to where there were crowds, as you saw, when he got shot there. But they started out as liberal crowds, and he was the only conservative. Then, as he uncovered truth and won debate, they started being more conservative and more conservative students attended the rallies, and the liberals got less and less. So Charlie was uncovering the indoctrination process on the college campuses, and I'm just going to say it, they could not have that happen because those are the voters that they were grooming to be the next voters.
Yeah.
And Charlie was uncovering that with truth and love and compassion.
Absolutely. And because he wasn't yelling, he wasn't screaming, it took a longer time for his message to get across because they believe in just shouting down any opposition, you know, because they believe in free speech. Bob, you're a very smart man. I'm impressed. Thank you so much for joining me. You really got your facts and you know what you're talking about. And I love that when people are passionate about finding out what's going on. Thank you. I appreciate that. 901-260-5926. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about educating yourself. So let's go to the UN, shall we? President Trump talking about immigration, because he did talk about borders. And I wanted... Let's go to cut 14 first, because here's President Trump talking about protecting your country. So I'm going to try to get these in order because some of them were mine, some of them are Dylan. So I'm going to try to place them in order for you. So here's President Trump on the countries protecting themselves.
Our ancestors climbed mountains, conquered oceans, crossed deserts, and trekked over wide open plains. They charged into thunderous battles, plunged into grave dangers, and they were soldiers and farmers and workers and warriors and explorers and patriots. They built towns into cities, tribes into kingdoms, ideas into industries, and small islands into mighty empires. You're a part of all of that. They were champions for their people who never gave up and who never, ever gave in. Their values defined our national identities. Their visions forged our magnificent destiny. Everybody in this room is a part of it in your own way. Each of us inherits the deeds and the myths, the triumphs, the legacies of our own heroes and founders who so bravely showed us the way. Our ancestors gave everything for homelands that they defended with pride, with sweat, with blood, with life, and with death. Now the righteous task of protecting the nations that they built belongs to each and every one of us.
So he's talking about, you know, basically open borders. Like, you have to protect your homeland, not just America, but every single one of you has a right and a duty to protect your people, who your people are, which your ancestors fought so hard to build. Now, to Bob's point, we'll go to cut 11. To Bob's point, President Trump is now calling out the UN on immigration. Remember, protect your homeland. Here's Donald Trump.
Not only is the UN not solving the problems it should too often, it's actually creating new problems for us to solve. The best example is the number one political issue of our time, the crisis of uncontrolled migration. It's uncontrolled. Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. In 2024, the UN budgeted $372 million in cash assistance to support an estimated 624,000 migrants journeying into the United States. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out. The UN also provided food, shelter, transportation, and debit cards to illegal aliens. Can you believe that? On the way to infiltrate our southern border. Millions of people came through that southern border. Just a year ago, millions and millions of people were pouring in, 25 million altogether over the 4 years of the incompetent Biden administration. And now we have it stopped, totally stopped. In fact, they're not even coming anymore because they know they can't get through. But what took place is totally unacceptable. The UN is supposed to stop invasions, not create them and not finance them. In the United States, we reject the idea that mass numbers of people from foreign lands can be permitted to travel halfway around the world, trample our borders, violate our sovereignty, cause unmitigated crime, and deplete our social safety net.
Yeah. He's talking about what happens in these countries when you allow an invasion, and the UN calling them out to their face, like where I was talking with, speaking with the caller, Bob. We're funding both sides of this. We're funding the UN, and then the UN's funding an invasion at our southern border. All right, more of this coming up, but first, Todd wants you to know the Middle East is powder keg. Iran and Israel are at war. And with America on the brink, your savings could take a hit. And that's why Todd trusts Vault U.S. Gold. The folks at Vault U.S. Gold are American patriots who protect your wealth with physical gold and silver. As oil prices surge and the markets falter, gold's hitting highs. $3,452 an ounce. History proves in chaos. Precious metals shine. With Vault U.S. Gold, they can seamlessly roll over your 401k or your IRA into a gold IRA so you can get gold and silver delivered directly to your door. There's no hidden fees, no shenanigans, just expert guidance. So don't wait for the next crisis to do something. Call Vault U.S. Gold at 1-833-511-4693 or visit vaultusgold.com/Todd Starnes and secure your future now. If you're concerned, give Vault U.S. Gold a call. Ask them some questions. 1-833-511-4693 because in uncertain times, gold and silver stand strong. I'm Mary Walter, and you are listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Todd is at an LA Spiritual Leadership Conference, so he will be joining us about Monday. And he won't be joining me. He'll be joining you anyway. But so there you go. There is a verdict. Verdict has allegedly been reached in the would-be Trump assassin trial, Ryan Ruth. So we'll see as soon as they get that up and as soon as they announce exactly what that is, we will get that to you. I will do my best to multitask and get that to you ASAP. So when we last left President Trump, he was telling these members of NATO, the UN, that they had to guard their borders. You have to do that. Now, one of the reasons why, he said, is cut 12. And he's talking about what's happening in Europe.
And I have to say, I look at London, where you have a terrible mayor, terrible, terrible mayor. And it's been so changed, so changed. Now they want to go to Sharia law. But you're in a different country. You can't do that. Both the immigration and their suicidal energy ideas will be the death of Western Europe if something is not done immediately. This cannot be sustained. What makes the world so beautiful is that each country is unique. But to stay this way, every sovereign nation must have the right to control their own borders. You have the right to control your borders.
You have the right to control your borders. That's what he was telling them. And he followed that up with cut 15, not cut 15 for him, but for Dylan. He talks about being able to protect free speech, but also being able to protect your country's way of life.
In honor of this momentous anniversary, I hope that all countries who find inspiration in our example will join us in renewing our commitment, values, and those values, really, that we hold so dear together. Let us defend free speech and free expression. Let us protect religious liberty, including for the most persecuted religion on the planet today. It's called Christianity. And let us safeguard our sovereignty and cherish qualities that have made each of our nations so special, incredible, and extraordinary.
You know, good for him. Because in Syria right now, they're burning down the villages and slaughtering the Christians that are left in Syria. There aren't many left. There's I think it's less than 1% of the population in Israel is still Christian. There, you know, because I said, there's the Christian quarter in Jerusalem, or maybe that's in Jerusalem in the old city. Don't quote me on it. But it's a shockingly low number. And he's right. There are slaughters of Christians. You know, they call it genocide. They're like, oh, the genocide of the Palestinians. But what's happening around the world is a genocide of Christians everywhere. And lastly, Trump called, you know, he wants to make it fair, so he wants some free trade. Cut 16.
In the United States, we want trade and robust commerce with all nations, everybody. We want to help nations. We're going to help nations. But it must also be fair and reciprocal. The challenge with trade is much the same with climate. The countries that followed the rules, and all their factories have been plundered. It's really sad to watch. They've been broken. They've been broken by countries that broke the rules. That's why the United States is now applying tariffs to other countries, and much as these tariffs were for many years applied to us, uncontrollably applied to us, we've used tariffs as a defense mechanism under the Trump administration, including my first term, where hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs were taken in. And by the way, we had the lowest inflation, and now we have very low inflation. The only thing different is that we have hundreds of billions of dollars flowing into our country. But this is how we will ensure that the system works for everyone and is sustainable into the future.
So there you go. Trump calling him out on a lot of stuff as well. He should. We do pay their bills, so I think we should be able to do that. Still waiting for the verdict in the would-be Trump assassin's trial, Ryan Ruth. He did represent himself, which I'm sure was wonderful, and I can't imagine that Judge Eileen Cannon was happy about that, but he did represent himself. So we'll see if that worked for him. He did have lawyers at the standby at the ready, and I know the judge had to tell him certain things, because he wasn't necessarily doing things in his best interest. It's very difficult when you represent yourself. Coming up, one of my favorites, Harry Enten. He just cracks me up, whether he's giving me good news or bad news. He just cracks me up. And so I have some Harry Enten for him on Democrat versus Republican, on who is more believable or more trusted on the economy, immigration, and crime. So that will be coming up next. Hey, you heard it from Trump. America is back. It's time to stand with a bank that shares your values, Old Glory Bank. Now, they support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. There's no cancel culture, no woke nonsense. It's just a bank that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. So join the movement today at oldglorybank.com/starns and be part of something bigger. Trust the FDIC-insured bank that was created to protect your privacy, your security, and your liberty. Old Glory Bank. More coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. We are back on the Todd Starnes Show. Mary Walter sitting in for Todd. That's me. Don't forget, tonight is my live cast. It starts at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. You can ask questions, leave comments. It is live on Rumble, YouTube, and Getter. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. My guest tonight is a Republican strategist. Her name is Melanie Collette, and she will be joining me tonight. But you can go back. You can look at old past ones. Todd's done two podcasts with me. As I said, Ben Dieter, Grace has joined me on the podcast. So a lot of faces that you will recognize. Todd actually showed us his rug in his apartment, which is a very funny story. So you might want to check that out. The audio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. I'll probably have it up on Thursday. Before we move on to Harry Enten, Ryan Ruth found guilty on all charges. Guilty for assaulting a federal officer, for having a semi-automatic weapon with the serial numbers taken off of it. And I forget what the other three are, but there's five charges altogether. So guilty on all of them. It's not really a surprise. Felon in possession of a firearm and ammunition is another one. So not a surprise. And he decided to represent himself. But here's the thing. I was telling Dylan during the break. So are we going to find out now who paid for his trips to go to Ukraine? Because he went to Ukraine a couple times. But he's supposedly really poor. Like, how is he doing all that traveling back and forth? Where was he staying in D.C.? He's poor. How has that happened? Who was funding him? That was the first question. Then my second question is, how soon before he commits suicide in jail? That's the other question, because there's a lot of unanswered questions with this guy. And I don't know. I'd be worried if I were him. All right. Let's go to my fave. Let's go. Can we go to Harry Enten? I adore Harry Enten on CNN. And just because of the way he delivers his numbers, and he's the poll guy, and he deliver, and he breaks them down. For it's usually poor Kate Baldwin who's sitting there, standing there with him, and whoever gets to stand there with him, especially if it's bad news for the Democrats, who's like, oh, really? All right, so I have to do this. So here's Harry Enten breaking down the lead between Democrats and Republicans on three issues: economy, immigration, and crime. So here he is breaking down who holds the lead, who do people, you know, trust more, I guess, on those three issues. Here's Harry.
What do you think?
Yeah, what are we seeing? You know, Donald Trump being underwater, Democrats, and all this guarantees us we're going to fly high in the midterms. Let me tell you, this guarantees you nothing, nothing, because at this particular point, the Democrats are the New Orleans Saints of political parties. What are we talking about? Trust the Dems or GOP more on the economy? Who leads on the economy? Republicans by 7. Immigration, Republicans by 13. How about crime, a big issue for Donald Trump and the Republicans? Look at that. Lead by 22 points. So the bottom line is this. At this particular point, the ball may be on the ground, but the Democrats have not picked up the ball and running with it. If anything, at this particular point, it's the Republicans who are running with the ball on the top issues, the economy, immigration, and crime.
And what I find so interesting about that is then you'll also look at polls about, you know, your Donald Trump and his popularity on immigration, economy, and crime, and his numbers will be down. Excuse me. His numbers will be down. I don't understand that. But people are weird, and I don't know who answers polls. All right. Here's the next one. These are the comparing these poll numbers with 22 and where the GOP is and where the Democrats are.
Let's compare it back to 2022. I think this kind of gives away the game right here, okay? The GOP is more trusted than the Dems on the economy. It was 12 points in 2022. Slight decline in that lead, but still 7 points. How about immigration? It was Republicans by 3 back in 2022. Look at this. The Republican lead's actually gone up by 10 points. What are you doing, Democrats? My goodness gracious. And on crime, the Republicans were up by 13, and now they're up by 22, the lead again expanding by nearly double digits. So whatever Democrats are doing, it ain't working, Kate.
Yeah, and poor Kay Baldwin is just standing there going, okay, I'm going to ask the next question now. And she's got to look interested and not disgusted. And he's just so animated when he gives it. He's tall and lanky, and he's just like all over the place. It's just like arms and legs everywhere. And he's very, very animated when he gives the statistics. But the bottom line is that on immigration, they trust Republicans by 7. Excuse me, on the economy. Immigration by 13. Crime by 22. So sending the National Guard into these cities was a good idea by Donald Trump. Compared to 22, Republicans are up 7 points on the economy, 10 points on immigration, 22 points on crime. So let's find out where the independents are. Let's go to them next.
It's all about the center of the electorate, right? You win with independents, you win overall. And what do we see right here among independents? Republicans still have a point lead on the economy. They got a 10-point lead on immigration. They got a 21-point lead on crime. The bottom line is, when you look at these numbers, Democrats should call their offices, because at this particular point, even if Republicans, or even if the public doesn't like what Donald Trump is doing, they ain't necessarily liking what Democrats are doing. And it ain't just a referendum on one party. You actually have to go out and beat that party at this particular point. Democrats are not able to beat Republicans.
What this basically is, in my humble opinion, is that if you're living in an area where you can't walk out the door once it's dark, or, you know, the woman down the street just got shot at 12, you know, innocent bystander just got shot at 12:30 in the afternoon, you can't live your life. It's about quality of life. And if Donald Trump can drive down crime, as he is doing by using the National Guard and saying, that's it, you're not going to do it, we're going to do it, you're going to find people who normally vote Democrat cheering. These people in these inner cities who normally vote Democrat cheering. Look at Memphis, right? Memphis is next. And cheering. That's a good thing. Yes, please come in. Please make my neighborhood safe. And you would think that the leaders would want that as well, because you want people to be able, you want tourists to come to Memphis, right? You want tourists to come to Memphis. It's like Memphis and Nashville. It's like Louisville and Lexington. You know, you need them to be safe. in order to get the tourists, in order to get the dollars, in order for small businesses to thrive, and in order for people who live in these cities to be able to do so safely without having their homes broken into or their stores ransacked on a regular basis. That can't be. It's no way to live. And Donald Trump said, you know, enough. Now, one other thing, I want to go to cut one because it's a quickie. Yesterday, I was talking about this, and I was so excited because we were talking about the Charlie Kirk thing. And I said, wow, you know, Charlie had always wanted Donald Trump and Elon Musk to make amends, get back together. He really thought that they worked so well together and they were better together than they were separately. The sum was better than the parts. And we saw them sitting together at Charlie's memorial on Sunday. And I was so excited to see it. I know a lot of people were really excited to see it. Now, Elon Musk was not in that enclosed space with Dana White and Don Jr. and Eric. And, you know, he wasn't in that space. He was no longer in the inner circle. And I think that hurts him. But he also is not that smart when he says some things. But he did come in. He came down from wherever he was sitting, came over to speak with Donald Trump, and they were seen both smiling and shook hands. And but then Elon Musk left. So Donald Trump was asked about this aboard Air Force One, about, you know, rekindling his relationship with Elon Musk.
You and Elon back together? Is that true?
Well, Elon came over and said hello. No, it's nothing to do with that. I thought it was nice. You know, he came over, had a little conversation. We had a very good relationship, but it was nice that he came over. Dana White was there, the great Dana White.
Yeah, we had a nice relationship. He didn't say we're back and we're not, the band's not back together. But at least, you know, George and Ringo are speaking, right? So that really was really George and Paul are speaking, which is good. Or John and George or speak, whatever. I'm not up on my Beatles trivia, so there you go. But you get the picture. I want to go back very quickly to the UN summit that they had, that we played some of the audio from. We kind of got off track because of the verdict being reached in the Ryan Ruth trial. But along the lines with the UN General Assembly, UNGA, as they call it. So the U.S. Secret Service said this morning that they dismantled a network of electronic devices located throughout the New York tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And these devices were used to conduct multiple telecommunications-related threats directed towards senior U.S. government officials. The devices were concentrated within 35 miles of the General Assembly meeting in New York. This protective intelligence investigation led to the discovery of more than 300 co-located SIM servers and 100,000 SIM cards across multiple sites, according to the Secret Service. In addition to carrying out anonymous telephonic threats, these devices could be used to conduct a wide range of telecommunication attacks. This includes disabling cell phone towers, enabling denial of services attacks, and facilitating anonymous encrypted communication between potential threat actors and criminal enterprises. This is scary, this stuff. Like, you can't trace this stuff. Everything now can be anonymous and encrypted. Early analysis indicates cellular communications between nation-state threat actors, so think China, Iran, etc., and individuals that are known to federal law enforcement. So the people on the radar. The Department of Homeland Security's Homeland Security Investigations, the Department of Justice, the Office of DNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, New York Police Department, and other state and local law enforcement partners are assisting with the investigation. U.S. Secret Service Director Sean Curran said the potential for disruption to our country's telecommunications posed by this network of devices cannot be overstated. So that's really big news, and I just wanted to get that out there because it's kind of getting overrun with Trump being at the UN and now this Ryan Ruth verdict. It's so fast that some of these big stories that normally we'd hear about, we're not hearing about. So I thought it was important to bring that to you. Coming up, we have some good news with ICE, but we also have Bill Maher and his take on Matthew Dowd getting fired in because of his remarks regarding Charlie Kirk. Back to the free speech thing, coming up in the Todd Starnes Show. we're winding it up here. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Todd is back on Monday when he gets back from the LA Spiritual Leadership Conference. Just an update for you. So Ryan Ruth, the would-be Trump assassin, he was alleged. He's been found guilty on all counts, and U.S. Marshals had to step in to prevent him from stabbing himself in the courtroom. That's a hell of a way to commit suicide. Oof. But how did he get in there? Stab himself with what? He's in prison. He's been in prison. Like, what? And how did, don't they know what he's got? Like, did they not pat him down before they bring him into the courtroom? I know he's probably in handcuffs in the courtroom. I don't know. Or they were taking him into custody and he had somehow got a knife on him somehow and stabbed himself. So, wow. I feel badly for his daughter. We were just talking about that off the air. His daughter's been in front of the camera saying, you know, my dad's being railroaded. He didn't do this, etc. And now they're kind of chasing her down. I do feel badly for her. Leave her alone. That's why I could never do that job. Also wanted to get here to Bill Maher. He, you know, he every now and then stumbles into journalism. And he was talking about Matthew Dowd. And Matthew Dowd, very famously for a hot second, lost his job when right in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, because he just said some very insensitive things. So here is Bill Maher with Matthew Dowd and talking to him about what happened. Now, this is supposed to be bleeped, so I hope Dylan got them all. All right, so we're going to see if he did. Here we go.
Somebody on your network got...
Matthew. I think the official term was let go.
Okay, this is... Matthew Dowd said you can't be saying these awful words and then not expect awful actions to take place. Yes, you can. I do expect that. I do not expect awful actions to take place. I think this is awful when you open this window. Like, I didn't like what he said, and what he said was vile and this and that. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. We don't shoot people in this country. And we don't defend it, and we don't mock their death.
That's right. No, you can't. We're heading down that road. He's absolutely right. I find myself agreeing with Bill Maher and, shockingly, John Fetterman a lot more. It's a very weird place to be. But he's right. You should have to be. Why do we just assume, well, you say that something bad's going to happen and that's on you and you should see that coming? No, I can't. I don't understand what someone else is going to do. That's not my job to censor myself or not exercise my right to free speech just because you're a crazy person. Right? Like, that's just not my job. So, Bill Maher was absolutely right. And how weird is it for me, like I said, to be on the opposite side of that. So we got some good news. ICE has made more arrests of some of the worst, taking into custody illegal aliens convicted of sex crimes, robbery, murder, and human trafficking over the past few days. They have 1,000 law enforcement officers continue to arrest and remove violent predators from American communities, despite more than a 1,000% increase in assaults against the officers. Those people need to be held accountable. But along those lines, the marshals are searching for an illegal alien who is accused of raping, impregnating, and labor trafficking a migrant child that he sponsored through the federal government's Unaccompanied Alien Children Program. Now, these are kids who came across the border, unaccompanied minors, and the Biden administration, there were so many of them because they had an open border, just they would come with like a note, like, here's a phone number, this is who I go to. And we had no idea who they were placing them with, none whatsoever. And now we're starting to see what happens when you do that and you just hand them over to people. Not everyone has good intentions. His name is Juan Relios Botts. He's from Guatemala. They're offering a reward up to $5,000 to anyone with information that leads to his arrest. He is wanted on 3 counts of child rape, 1 count of aggravated kidnapping, 1 count of human trafficking, and 1 count of abuse of a child. According to the allegations, Relios Botts and his sister sponsored a 13-year-old migrant child through the government's UAC program. After securing custody of the child, police alleged that over a 2-year period, he raped the girl, impregnated and fathered a child with her, and forced her into indentured servitude. Officials with the U.S. Marshals say that Relios Batts fled to Fremont, Nebraska, after being made aware of the charges against him. He uses several aliases, including Juan Ralios, R-A-L-I-O-S, Juan Batts, B-A-T-Z, Randy Giro, Juan Ramos Batts, Juan Ramos, and Omar Gonzalez. Because remember, they're only sending their best, and these people are just here for a better life. What's wrong with you? Earlier this year, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. called the Biden administration's massive ramp-up of the UAC program the biggest facilitator for child abuse in American history. And you and I paid for it with our tax dollars. He told members of Congress sponsors were not required to show valid identification. They were never fingerprinted, so we don't know if there's a criminal record. There was no DNA testing, so the claims that they were taking a family member were dubious at best. And this is what the Trump administration was doing. They were taking cheek swabs and processing the DNA, and they separated the alleged child from the alleged parent. And that was just with the parents. This isn't with the unaccompanied minor. So it wasn't even that. Just to see if they really were related, or was this human trafficking? And the left was screaming about Trump keeping children in cages. And what they were doing was trying to make sure that they weren't being trafficked across the border, so that they didn't wind up in some kind of sex slavery or forced labor, which is the case of so many of them. And we know that there's over 300,000 of them are missing. The Trump administration, I think they've gotten like 20,000 back, something like that. Wish it was more. Dylan, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it. I will be back with you tomorrow and the rest of this week on the Todd Starnes Show.